Hey, everybody, before we start the show, I wanted to let you know that How Did This Get Made is going on tour. That's right. We're going to be in New York at the Now Hear This podcast festival in September. We're also going to be in New York in November at Town Hall, November 9th at Town Hall. Tickets are available on Ticketmaster. There's only a few seats left for both shows, but come out and see us if you're in New York in November. We would love to see you. But let's talk about our real sponsors. These are the people who make the show run, and I'm talking about Squarespace. That's right, Squarespace. They have cut their ties to the Nazis. Can we say that on air? I don't know if we can. We may have to cut this out, but I will say this. I love Squarespace because they've been supporting this show from the very beginning. And whether you need a portfolio to showcase your work or a store to sell your products and services or a blog to share your ideas, Squarespace gives you everything you need to make your next move into a reality. Not to mention with Squarespace beautifully designed templates and customizable features, creating a beautiful website is a simple and intuitive process. Simply add and arrange your content with a click of a mouse. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com and enter the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get 10% off your first purchase. Also, guys, get ready. Marc Maron is coming out with a brand new special. That's right. Meditation makes him crazy, and he's not big on fun, but he turns his profound discomfort into an art form. You know him as one of the respected names in comedy and one of the stars of the critically acclaimed Netflix original series Glow. Actor, podcast, comedian, Marc Maron has a brand new stand-up special on Netflix, and that's where you want to do your specials because Netflix got them all. Marc returns to stage to deliver his take on a wide array of subjects as only he can. That's right. Watch Marc Maron, Too Real, only on Netflix, September 5th. Way to go, Marc. You know, last time you did a special was on some platform I couldn't even watch it on. So way to go. Standing up, doing it the right way this time, going on Netflix. I'm going to watch Marc Maron, Too Real, only on Netflix, starting September 5th. Now, let's start the show. If Mean Girls was a person, and then that person suffered blunt trauma to the head, you would have brats. We saw brats, so you know what that means. Takes a ball, hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? That was a new theme song from Mick Jagger, and I'm glad I let the little tambourine play out at the end. Welcome. We are talking about Bratz today, the 2007 film based on the popular children's toy. I am joined, as always, by my co-host Jason Mantzoukas. Jason, how are you?
I can't believe Mick Jagger did a theme song for us. That's pretty huge.
That's Mick's, it's Mick Jagger. This is a Mick.
Mick
Steps.
Jagger from the Rolling Stones.
No, it's Nick. It's, yeah. Also, joining us, as always, is our co-host, June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Very good. I'm excited to talk Bratz with both of you.
Oh, boy.
But we are joined by a very special guest. She is somebody that I think is fantastically funny. She has a brand new series on Vimeo. Just go to Vimeo.com, check it out. It's called 555. Please welcome Kate Berlant.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, boy, Kate. How did you feel about Bratz?
Bratz!
Okay.
Gotta get them Bratz!
I have to be honest, I loved it. I'm pro.
You're pro Bratz.
I paused it, certain frames. I was like, well, it's shot on film. It's beautiful. The colors are vibrant. I'm not kidding. I have a lot
pops.
To talk about.
I will say
she pops.
I will say that I enjoyed this movie. I find myself sometimes watching these movies and checking like how much longer. And there was something about this that had a nice forward momentum to it.
See, I paused it at one point to be like, all right, I've got to be near the end. And I was still had a full hour left. I was like, how have I only watched 30 minutes of this?
Oh, this movie is 2 hours long, by the
Holy
way.
Holy cow.
It's an hour and 50
really?
Minutes. Yeah, an hour and 50 minutes.
I thought it was 1:32. I was like, how economical.
No. This is longer than The Dark Tower and Dunkirk. This movie is longer
By the
than-
way, and it's in 70 millimeter. I watched it in 70 mil. I rented a theater and I got them to play it in 70 mil.
Well, here's my question, just to throw out as a general, before we even get into specifics.
Ugh.
Is this movie a parody? Is it satire? Or is it supposed to be straight down the middle? I can't.
Oh, no. This movie is not at all a parody or satire. This is like,
but
I feel like this is Mean Girls or cheerleader movie. What is it?
Bring It On.
But for like younger girls. But I feel like this is aimed at like tween girls, not teen girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. There's one scene. I mean, it's like where to start with Bratz. But there's one scene, like a makeover scene where they all go shopping.
Which makeover scene?
Okay. They go to the mall. The one where they're prepping
at the Grove.
They're prepping for the Sweet 16.
Yes.
By the way, one of the characters, Meredith, has a second Sweet 16. That was one of the jokes that made me laugh in the movie.
The MTV producer.
Sweet 16. But there's one moment where they are getting made over. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bunch of younger girls sort of sitting at a, I don't know, island of some sort. And they're making them over. And that's when I realized, like, oh, this that's the audience.
Yes, this movie is for those little girls. This movie is for little girls that play with those dolls.
Now,
not
is there
anybody
any
else.
More information? Like, is there a TV show that we should have seen?
The doll. The doll is what this movie is based on. The dolls were very popular.
Keep your eye on the doll.
Yes.
Okay, but are there books surrounding the doll? You can't just keep on saying the doll.
The dolls, there were four 10-inch dolls released in 2001. Chloe, Jade, and Sasha.
Yasmin.
And then a fifth brat was added in 2015, and her name is Raya.
And what is her nationality?
Raya. Wait a minute. Did she invent the dating app?
She probably did.
That's Raya the brat invented the celebrity dating app.
But the Bratz did spin off to Bratz Kids, Bratz Babies, Little Bratz, Bratz Boys,
Bratz?
Itsy Bitsy Bratz, and Bratz Pets, not Pete's, Bratz Pets.
Wow.
And the Bratz Babies with a Z are very disturbing because they are as sexy as the Bratz. No.
Okay. Bratz were a doll that I remember being like criticized because they were too skinny and had too big heads, right? That was the thing.
They look
Bratz.
Like the Steve Madden ads. Yeah. Their eyes are very big and
But here's what I do appreciate about the Bratz though. I mean, 10 inches. So that's like taller than a Barbie doll.
Yeah.
I would say that's the same.
They're louder than Barbie.
They're louder than Barbie?
Yes.
That's what I think they sort of are a response to, which in some ways Now, look, this movie was nothing like I thought the dolls were, having seen them only a few times. I thought the Bratz were Bratz.
I would have assumed as much.
I thought the Bratz were Bratz. Like,
they were not Bratz.
Badass, like,
if anything, Meredith and her group would be the Bratz.
They're reappropriating Bratz.
Right. They embraced the Brat. Like,
I didn't really. The good thing about the Bratz is really, they are.
I'm showing some pictures of the Bratz just so you can see.
I think it's cool that they feel like a response to Barbie in that they are multicultural.
Well, sure. And they are also young. Like, I think Barbie is meant to be an adult woman, right?
Jason. Yeah. They're not.
They're high school kids.
How old do you think Barbie is?
She's a professional woman. She works. She drives a car. Okay. She has an apartment.
How old is Barbie? She's a woman.
I would say Barbie is in her mid-20s.
Okay, that's interesting.
I was going to say 27.
27?
What do you think?
I think Barbie's 21 if she's a day.
Okay.
No. I agree. I feel like she's in the 20s.
I think
25
Malibu Stacy is 21.
No,
but Barbie's
I think Malibu
like
24. Stacey's 18.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to make some calls.
27 probably isn't right.
27. Yeah, 20, I think yeah, 20, thinking.
She's too close to 30 at 27. Yeah. 24.
Regardless, I think Barbie is an adult, let's say in her 20s, and I think the Bratz are high school kids, right?
Oh, wow. Yes.
They're freshmen in high school.
Well, and who become juniors.
I have a fundamental question about this movie.
Yes.
What is the length of time this movie takes place during?
A whole year.
No, more than two. Because
3 years?
Because, like, 8 minutes in, they're like, 2 years later.
Yes.
And you're like, what?
Yes.
Yeah, jumps.
They kept saying, it's been 2 years. And I was like, since when?
Comic, and since what?
Since what happened? They walked into the cafeteria.
And like, a couple of people waved at each of them. And they all were like, later, skater. And they basically stopped talking to each other for two full years.
I think it's powerful.
And they didn't really have, they didn't seem to have a breakup, though. They just seemed to
They ghosted each other.
Yeah.
They were brutalized into categories. Which women are, and teen girls are more than anyone. And
one category being mimes.
Well, that was the thing. Sometimes, this is why I thought the movie had elements of satire in it, because they would be like, oh, those are the loners, And then the mime was hanging out with some of the loners, but then there's also a table full of mimes. So there was, and there, like, I felt like there was some elements. Like, when that kid jumped in the pool with the leather jacket on, he swam up to the little brother.
I'm ready to talk about
it. I could write a dissertation on the little brothers in teen movies. This kid is cut from the same cloth as the Teen Witch little brother.
Yes.
Like, 100%.
I disagree.
Wow.
I think the Teen Witch brother has so much charm and is so delightful.
Yes.
This little brother made me feel sick. And this little brother is a fucking pedophile.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He's hitting on
Meredith's little sister.
9-year-old?
Little sister.
Yes. But how old is he? That's what I wrote. Because he's flirting. He keeps saying me likey.
It's disgusting. Which I
did not care for.
You didn't like
it. I didn't like him saying me likey to the child who is in the movie. But then I was like, I don't know. Maybe they're in the same grade. I don't know what this is.
No,
I thought
Jason,
she was younger.
No.
He was
She's
younger.
Much younger. She okay. was.
She has a lot of sass, though.
She was a star.
Yeah, she
is great.
She was terrific.
She's one of my favorite parts of the entire movie because she just, you know, she knew how to throw it back at her sister. I mean, her sister isn't...
These are the jokes here, folks, is what she says at one point.
Well, here's something I'll just put in your bonnet. So the people...
Now, just for the listener, June is wearing a bonnet.
Yeah, we make everybody now wear bonnets. This movie was written by a writer of The Man Show and The Ollie G Show.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, the story was by Adam Delapena and David Ellenberg. And the Ollie G Show and The Man Show. That's some of their credits.
Wow.
Well, listen, the basic story behind this movie is, I will say, there's something about it that's kind of original, which is it's not just Mean Girls.
Right.
The basic premise is that in high school, you're divided into these groups, and so nobody can ever fully be themselves, because what it is to be themselves is to be more than one thing, which the high school hierarchy and structure does not allow.
Well, because they're running this high school like a prison, which is set up by John Voight.
And that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Right.
The fact that was John Voight kept blowing my mind.
When he was voguing at the end.
Yes.
He's John having fun.
John Voight, like, by the way.
In a big fake nose.
Yes. And ears.
And ears?
Yes, nose and ears fake. It was interesting because watching this movie in the beginning, when you see the names pop up, I'm like, this is a movie that came out in 2007. I'm like, I should recognize.
2007?
Yeah, I should like recognize a name or something. And the first and only name really I recognized was John Voight. And then later, Kadeem Harrison, who was on Different World. But that's even a deep pull. But I mean, I didn't recognize and still don't recognize.
Yeah,
they didn't. I don't know. I didn't. This is like a movie that was trying to launch a lot of new talent.
I do think this is. I kept coming back to like, oh, I think this is a movie made and marketed to children. So like, I don't, because I was like, I similarly was like, oh, I don't have any reference point for this. I don't have any cultural awareness of this. I know the dolls more than I know that this movie exists. You know, but in a way, I was like, oh, but I think it was probably marketed towards like 10 and 11 year olds. So like, I don't think it was meant to be Mean Girls or have that kind of crossover, big, huge.
No.
I think it was like for kids and would play on like Nickelodeon or something. Or I don't know, something like that.
Go.
Or HBO Go.
Where I found it.
Same.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I bought it.
You did.
Oh,
that says everything.
It was $7.99.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now you own it?
I own
Lucky
Bratz.
You.
I own Bratz. It really does look pretty amazing. There's elephants in this movie.
The clown stuff?
Yep.
The clown stuff I paused cool. the frame and I was like, yes.
Yeah,
this the is, clown this stuff is was sublime. Cool.
The clothing, though, I'm surprised to hear it was released in 2007. I found the clothes to be so gross.
Shocking.
Shockingly terrible.
Belts. The use of belts.
Belts where I've never seen them before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just hemlines and pants over skirts over
almost Renaissance.
Yeah,
I feel like the costume designer was like modern Renaissance flair with like kind of where are they?
We're creating our own look. It's it's futuristic fashion. You know, that kind of like, it does fashion that doesn't exist, so they could probably get it for cheaper because if they had to buy like name brand stuff, they couldn't afford it. Like, I feel like this movie was
like shipwrecked.
I think it's basically, I think if this had been made for teenagers, everybody would have dressed normally. But because they were marketing this movie towards kids, they can't dress them up in, like, too revealing of things. Or I feel like they were overcorrecting in terms of, well, no, we're selling a message to very young people, and it can't be that everybody's dressed in, like little things, which is, I feel like, what a high school movie at that time would have been.
Right.
Am I wrong? I don't know.
So you think they made them more modest?
Well, yes. Even seeing everybody's like, always wearing long sleeves.
Yeah, that's true. Oh,
wow. It's that's super true. Weird. Everyone is always wearing sleeves and long pants. And it's like nobody, like the raciest it gets is cheerleading uniforms, frankly. You know?
All right, calm down.
Which I was very into.
I want to talk about the cheerleader's dad, Kadeem Harrison.
Sexy vibes.
Oh, no, no. That the cheerleader's dad, Kadeem Harrison.
And those horny clowns.
Oh, no, no. Clowns, how did you do?
I did all right. You know, they're ladies.
Jason has a fear of clowns.
Less a fear of clowns and just like it brings back a real trauma in my life when there were clowns driving around my hometown trying to lure kids into a van with candy.
I mean, that didn't
and nobody,
happen.
Nobody believed me. And then there were multiple news reports that said it was true.
Yeah. Well, there's news reports that they're happening now. Maybe you spurned it.
Are you saying this podcast has started the new resurgence of clown abduction?
Yes, I feel like clown.
By the way,
that's
a vote of confidence in this podcast. That speaks to our reach.
This is what I love about movies like this because you can go very. It's. I do agree that the moral of this movie is strong, right? Like it's like you can be many things. You can be a fashion designer and this amazing science mind who can mix two chemicals and make a fireworks display in the lab.
That was like Harry Potter.
Yeah, that was.
And it went for too long, just by like 4 seconds. Like, and cut, and then,
Well, yeah, that was, and that's where, but the dad in the movie, when you're first introduced to the cheerleader's dad, he's in the kitchen tight on a toaster, and he's trying to get the bread in the toaster, and he's like, I can't, And she comes over, and she's like, boom, and she hits it, and he's like, oh, what would I do without you? That is a problem that no one has. Like, that's not a, like, I can understand a dad going, I don't know emojis or text.
Supposed to, like, now that he's divorced, he can't do anything.
It just seemed like,
later, he's playing chess alone.
Yeah, that was sad.
I felt bad for him. He, like, when she goes to college, he's going to die.
I didn't know what they were setting up there, though, like, with that moment in the toaster and the chess moment, because I do think there is that storyline we've seen before where, like, divorced dad or widowed dad tries to make the teenage girl, like, the surrogate wife.
Right.
And it's
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah,
and
it's disturbing.
My stepmom is an alien.
Exactly. But was that what was – I mean, they also set up this story that the parents are so hostile to each other, and yet the mom walked in, and she seemed
perfectly
pleasant.
Yeah. And but then, like,
she
said something like this. She said, and remind your father that you have a dentist appointment on Thursday. And then he was like, ugh. Like, again? You're giving me this again? But it was an inappropriate response to that thing. It would have been like, and tell your father to you know, pay the mortgage or whatever, you know, it's like, but she's like, and remind your dad about the dentist appointment. He's like, ugh, woman.
I'm like, they were trying to set up these stories where the parents were learning alongside the children.
A lot was cut.
Everybody.
I think a lot was cut.
You can feel the floor.
Wait,
you can feel the cut of the floor.
And that may have been the crossover elements that would have elevated Bratz to.
I'm curious, as a Bratz owner, Paul, is there deleted scenes as part of your purchase?
There is a DVD commentary, which I got a couple notes on here.
a legitimate gasp from Kate.
That's how I knew that John Voight is wearing a prosthetic nose and ears.
Wait, you didn't know that from just looking at his nose?
Well, I knew the nose was definitely weird, but I didn't know the ears. Okay.
Why is he wearing a prosthetic nose?
I don't know.
My best guess is
so that people might not recognize him.
That's what it seemed like.
That's what I thought.
Contract.
So strange.
The director also pointed out that scene in the Grove he shot in 15 minutes.
I'm always looking for background.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to turn and look right in the camera?
I actually liked seeing them around LA. I like seeing like, hey, I know that
it's
place.
It's a film about Los Angeles. and we can't separate it from one of the biggest characters.
I mean, this is like LA's Annie Hall.
It's a love letter to Los Angeles, the city of dreams.
And I will continue this Annie Hall thing and say that's where some of the comedy, it's like there's some big moments. There are these, you know, these kind of, you know, a larger than life moment.
Here's big life question.
My other thing, the other thing that I was obsessed with watching this movie was that there is never more than 10 lines of dialogue spoken in a row before a song starts playing.
True.
Oh, yeah.
And oftentimes that song is then abruptly ushered out and a new song starts. Sometimes a song only plays for like a verse and then it turns into another song. Like, this is so heavily soundtracked, this movie, that I felt as though I was losing my mind.
Well, I will also argue that this movie builds to a singing performance from the Bratz, but they are not established. Like, in a weird way, I would have liked the movie to start as they're in a band or they like to sing together.
Right.
And then they go their separate ways and then they come back and they show everyone what they got.
I love this.
It would have been a huge script note. Yeah. We needed that.
Just show me where they get this. But
instead, we don't understand. The only one, Yasmin wants to be a singer, but she does. We never see her sing. She's too shy to sing. And so she doesn't sing until an hour into the movie.
Yes.
Is when, and the only person that sees her sing is a deaf. We have to talk about the deaf.
That's
boy.
A different hour.
We have to talk about the deaf boy.
Well,
this is the kind of movie where everybody triumphs. You know, even the deaf boy can hear basically.
He's hot.
This is basically.
He's so hot.
This is when she meets him. Here, take a listen.
How do you want to be your calling? Are you blind? Hello.
Close up on her mouth.
I'm deaf.
What?
I'm deaf.
You don't sound deaf.
Well, you don't look ignorant, but I guess you can't judge a book, right?
Kaboom.
And that is the introduction of our only love interest in the film.
No, that's not true. There's
I don't think that other
guy.
Oh, right.
There's Jade. Is he in the science club or is he?
No,
there's two other love interests. Oh. There's that guy who's amazing, Derek, who ends up doing stand up comedy.
Yes, Derek.
A brilliant
and
actor.
And also, the boy, Meredith's boyfriend goes with Chloe.
Well, yes, because that's Meredith's boyfriend, when they're in the Grove, like they see him across the way. And I would say this is a note that I would give in a movie that is actually well directed. He glances at her in a way almost as if he would go like, oh, it's so quick. And he's checking you out. He was not. He didn't seem to me checking her out. He seemed to like glance.
You mean the deaf boy?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the deaf boy?
That was the deaf boy.
I was confused by all these faces. I will say,
Did you have white guy face blindness?
I did. I had white guy face blindness. I had white girl face blindness.
You had Bratz blindness too.
Because there was similarities to all of them.
Well, I will say the casting of Yasmin I thought was problematic.
To be Latin,
you look her up. No, she's half Spanish, but she is not a Latina.
And she said hola as if she's
she does speak Spanish.
Oh, okay.
She's bilingual and I think was raised in Spain.
Oh, okay.
But there is nothing. Well, and I mean nothing Latina about
this. Yes, well, Catalan. However, there is a mariachi band in her kitchen when
and
we meet her.
She does
and the mariachi band is eating bagels.
Yes.
Not to Sephardic heritage, perhaps.
And there is, they do the thing that I feel like all Spanish-speaking people do, which is walk around the house singing La Cucaracha.
Yeah, I mean, that's
pulling chocolate out of their mother's ears.
I think that was her grandmother.
Was it her grandma?
Yeah, I don't know where her parents.
She calls that woman her bubby,
and then
which is like a Jewish grandmother term. I couldn't crack what
that.
Maybe they were mixed family,
Hispanic.
Jewish and Spanish.
Also, the mariachi band did come at the end too, right? The mariachi band was at the live show.
They circled back.
They were back.
Oh, they're involved. Lest you think that the mariachi band was just there for breakfast. They're very involved in her life.
And
because here's the thing, though. It would have been cool if she actually was a Latina actress who is leading this movie. Like, because as soon as she – because I thought, oh, they're going to have the white girl be our way in.
Oh, by the way, Bubby is Lainey Kazan.
Yes.
Right. No, I mean, she was not – I mean, what is her
– She's I'm assuming Jewish.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Shot 4 days.
Yes. I don't know. I was bummed to realize, like, oh, this is the whitest
girl
you could find.
It made me feel uncomfortable when they were speaking Spanish because I was like, it didn't feel like these are words that they would be – it felt – forced.
It was crazy. And then like pulling shoes out of a brown paper bag.
It was weird.
Where is she getting? Where is Bubby getting these things?
They fell off a truck.
They did not feel like they were recently purchased shoes. They were never in boxes. They were just loose shoes in brown paper bags.
And when you go to a shoe store, there's usually a shoe box, and then there's a bag with the shoe store logo on it.
Can I say something that I feel like is bad? I mean, that's what I thought they were alluding to, that she was stealing it, because didn't they say something about
at the end Bubby was arrested?
Your Bubby steals from our house?
No, that was
the other one.
You're mixing up all the characters.
Sorry, guys, sorry.
That was Chloe. They were accusing Chloe's poor mom of stealing.
Chloe's mom, that breakout performance.
Oh, Chloe's mom?
Chloe's mom, when she's like, this is my moment.
When she's tired?
No, when she wakes up, she's like, I have to make more food. Oh. Yeah. And then she comes in after cooked, really, and she starts crying.
Go,
and she's like, you girls. And you can just feel her. You feel her going, go sell it.
You got
go
this.
For it.
You
they're
got
watching. This. They're watching.
Baby girl, yeah.
Those girls made an edible arrangement. Needed to be done was making of an edible arrangement.
I will also say that mom made the best switch I've ever seen as far as, so she's like, oh my God, you girls did this. On the verge of tears. Hold on, got a phone call. What? All my servers canceled. All of them?
Like,
on
what? Yeah.
And she's like, she went from passed out on the couch sick to crying to then every one of her servers called on one phone call. And then the girls had to be the servers and the cookers.
Did anyone else think that when Chloe first walked into the house that the mom was dead?
It was.
Yes.
What?
I did.
Yes.
I did.
I thought, oh, wow.
Because she's like, mom? Mom? And the mom is on the line dead on the couch. I assumed she was dead.
I thought it was alcohol abuse.
Here we go, brats. Yeah.
Because then the way she came out of her mania, she's like, had to.
I wonder if it's supposed to be that.
That's crazy.
I wonder if it's supposed to be that, but they can't do it. Because I do think, again, I don't think they can indulge in any of the harsher storylines of any of this, you know, because it's for 10-year-olds.
Hey, everybody. Let's take a quick break from the show for a couple of words from our sponsors. Wanted to let you know, before we even get into that, our merch is available at tpublic.com. That's right. We have our own store there, tpublic.com/store/how-did-this-get-made. We have great stuff. You can make it in stickers, cell phone cases, t-shirts, hoodies, whatever. You got the idea. It's really fun. But you know who else is really fun? Our good old friends at Casper. Now, people told me, Paul, you're too animated during these ads. Well, you know what? I say, fuck you. Because when I'm reading about a comfortable mattress, I need to get animated. I need to get excited. Because let me tell you about how comfortable the Casper mattress is. It is like sleeping on a brioche. A comfy brioche. And it's like sleeping on the sounds of baby laughter in the moonlight. It's like sleeping on the back of a duck who's magical and is actually flying, not floating in a stream. It's like living in the wisp of Nick Cage's hair. That's right. That's how damn comfortable a Casper mattress is. And buying a Casper is just as easy. Just order online. It's delivered to your door in a compact How Did They Do That size box. It's available in the USA, Canada, and now the UK. All shipping and returns are free. And considering we spend a third of our lives on a mattress, it's important that you truly sleep on a mattress before committing. They know that. That's why they give you 100 nights for free. Try it out. Risk-free. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/how and use the offer code HOW. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, everybody. I've told you about our friends at Squarespace. Well, let me tell you what else. You know that your next big idea probably could use Squarespace to help you create an eye-catching online platform that brings it to life. Because you know what? An idea is nothing until it's on a web page, right? Until then, it's just like an idea. We all got ideas. Why don't you make it into something? All right. Why don't you actually motivate yourself? Let's see you actually put the pedal to the metal, but the virtual metal, which is the internet. So whether you need a portfolio to showcase your work, a store to sell your products or services, and a blog to share your ideas, Squarespace gives you everything you need to look like an expert right from the start. You can even get a unique domain, which strengthens your brand. And we all are about brands, right? What's my brand? Cheeky fun. What's your brand? I don't know. You tell me. Tweet us what your brand is. And my brand is not Cheeky Fun. That's Tommy Maitland, the host of The Gong Show, which is, you know what? I found out that's not Mike Myers after all. It actually is a guy named Tommy Maitland. Anyway, Squarespace has award-winning templates creating beautiful websites. It's simple. It's easy. It's intuitive. You can add and arrange your content and features with a click of a mouse, not a real mouse, computer mouse. Who still uses mouse? I don't. And there's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. If you have a question, Square, imagine if we all use mouse, mice, I guess, with the cords. If you don't have a cordless mouse, you're really not living your life. Here's the deal. If you have a question, they got 24-hour customer support that can help you with any problem, no matter how technical or trivial. Think of them as your very own IT department. So when you're going to make your next move, make it the best move with Squarespace.com. That's not their slogan. That's my made-up slogan for them. Go to offer code BONKERS. Get 10% off your first purchase. That's BONKERS. Squarespace.com. You heard it. You love it. You know how they are, and they don't support Nazis anymore. I know that was a big concern from some of you. Now they are taking a stand.
Now, by the way, question is, so Chloe ends up, they win the talent show.
Spoiler alert.
They decide as a group that Chloe is going to be the recipient of the money from the scholarship.
Well, first of all, they decide that there's a tie. When there's a tie, one person gets the trophy and the other person gets the full scholarship to college.
Of your choice, to any college. It doesn't matter if you get in or not.
That's
cool.
That's
going.
That seems
that's cool. Really, really messed up.
That seems crazy.
Yeah. Okay, but Chloe could, I would say, arguably, has the best chance of a scholarship on her own because she's a very good soccer player.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down, too. That's a soccer scholarship in the making, yeah.
I don't think you'd call her a soccer whiz.
Well, June was
a real soccer, Josh.
June was a soccer whiz, weren't you?
I was. So
that's what you called it?
Recognizes game.
Yeah. June traveled around Long Island.
I believe it.
That's right.
When we got married, her dad referenced the great victories of June's life. And
one of them was soccer?
No, the whole speech was about soccer.
Yeah. Amazing.
Wow. The entire speech was just like a list of all of my stats.
Yeah, really? Like literally embracing the stats. Awesome. And this is after you've done a lot of successful work as an actress.
Yeah, not mentioned.
Because I don't know any of their names. When they do, and they're in that kitchen, and she picks up that, she's like, oh, you guys are angels. Then she picks up a donut and puts it, not over her head like a halo, kind of like up, like almost like you would put like an ice pack on your head, like, oh, I'm hung over. It's like, it was odd. I don't know why.
We were talking about scholarships. Chloe's dad? Dead?
That's not okay. We don't go there. We don't talk about Chloe's dad.
Ever!
No, they never.
It's like, wow. It speaks very loudly, but it is unspoken. I don't know. It seemed really taboo. It seemed like
I think her mother's alcoholism drove him away.
I think
maybe she killed him. Maybe the mom killed him.
I think they did a lot of work to show different family structures.
Right.
Some children are raised by a grandparent, as is with Bobby. Some people, divorce is an issue. We got the divorce. Was there the nuclear family?
I don't think there was.
And that's why the show is punk, the movie.
It is. It's a very, this movie is pushing boundaries.
Well, wait
that's
a minute.
That's a good point. I would say Meredith, I never saw Meredith's mom.
Don't you see her parents at the talent show?
Or
wait,
you just dad is the principal.
Oh,
Meredith. I'm sorry. Now I'm doing
dad is the principal.
Yes.
We never hear about her mother. It is odd.
You see the Asian biracial family.
Yes. Yeah. And they seem to be, she amazing. Seems to be an only child, maybe?
I was going to say.
Yeah.
They're a nuclear family, I guess, though.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
And they're very protective of her and her fashion.
She also has successfully managed to have built a secret room in her
cave in her fashion cave
that would be impossible to have like a sliding door secret closet, but that's where I'm okay. You know, this is a bit of wish fulfillment for kids who want that. It's like fun. I get that, but also like architecturally, that would be impossible.
To
put in a secret room.
I will say too, it is an odd choice for your four main characters to be so dynamically great at everything.
Oh, they're geniuses instantly.
They're amazing at soccer. They're amazing at singing. They're amazing at fashion. They're amazing
at
science,
cooking. There is not a single thing they can't do except for keep friends. I mean, that's their only downfall. But I thought that was odd. Like, there's not much for them There's like not...
Everybody's like a triple threat.
Yeah.
Everybody can do everything because also many of the jocks also, like the deaf boy is also a big time jock. Now, is he deaf because of an accident? Did he say?
Yeah, I think so. He's like, I miss music.
So he's recently deaf.
Football injury?
Potentially.
CTE?
I think.
Do we think it's CTE?
This movie is amazing.
The brain swelling football disease.
It's I'm probably going to say something very ignorant, but this is a big disclaimer because I think if he would have been born deaf, there's no way his voice would sound like
that. Yes, I think it's. Correct. I think this
has happened.
You're fine. Okay.
But why does he call her so ignorant?
Because she says
you don't sound deaf.
Because he's like, how dare you assume that I can hear? Based on the sound of my voice, there's a range of deaf experiences.
Right. He's saying that, she doesn't, she's expecting him to do something that would be very stereotypical.
And by the way, he does dip into what I can imagine would be called deaf voice by like an acting coach.
He
slips into it twice.
A couple times,
barely. And then you could feel they were like, pull back.
We don't want that. It was almost like, do one as without any affectation and let's just taste it. Here's my favorite scene.
Doesn't he sign?
He does a little bit.
What does he do? Go for it?
Go for it.
He's a great lip reader.
When the music teacher, he does at one point when they say hummus or something, or she said foie gras.
She says pamplemousse.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not that good. But this is when the music teacher finds him. I just like this. This is him playing the piano.
Dylan, you've been holding out on me.
Huh?
All this time I thought you were just some cool jock.
What?
I miss music.
I feel you, but you don't have to.
What are you talking about? I can't hear.
Come here.
Like
that's the music switch you're talking about.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
This is feels it on his neck. So he's a DJ who is feeling it all on his neck, which I didn't know that was a thing. I don't know. Maybe it is a thing.
It's also a thing apparently that
the earphones.
Yeah.
Well, I get,
he feels the vibration.
Like, but based on vibration, are you going to be able to be an effective DJ? Is my question.
Right. Well, I think this Bratz is kind of tackling that question.
Yeah. I feel like, if anything, that's what this movie is about.
Yeah. Sound is vibration. Vibration is sound.
Yeah. You know, and it's just moving through the airwaves, connecting us all together. Are you okay, Kate?
Yeah, we're the Bratz.
I would like to pitch the four of us now to be in the next Bratz movie.
Oh, I would love it.
As, like, the Bratz all grown up.
Big Bratz.
Big Bratz.
Big Bratz.
I love Big Bratz.
Bratz Vacation. I'm ready. So,
because Bratz Vacation is about people with different backgrounds doing different things.
Big Bratz. Not to be confused with Big Bratz, which is another movie we're making.
That's our Chicago-based movie where we all own a sausage factory.
Right.
We still have all the same issues, but we just deal with them differently.
Yep. And then the crossover movie, Bratz versus Bratz.
And we'll be playing duplicates of ourselves. It's going to be really fun.
I love it.
I want to talk about the food fight.
Oh,
I want to talk about the food.
By the way, why is everybody in the cafeteria eating so much pasta?
When the first pasta dump happens, it is as if a full boiling pot of pasta is poured on her.
Well, here's something
from the disgustingly hot day too. Like, why is everybody in the school eating giant bowls of pasta?
I'm gonna just say that when the director in the commentary said, not enough spaghetti in that scene.
No.
Literally.
No,
said,
you're kidding.
Not enough. Did not have enough spaghetti in that scene.
Oh, my God.
But by the way, she wore that spaghetti better than, like, I was like,
wow. Well, she's the fashion one. She knows how to make spaghetti work.
When that spaghetti, like, it landed on her and it didn't, like, just fall off. It, like, stayed on her head like a mop almost. Like
there was also a stifled laugh. I don't know if anyone else caught it.
Oh, no.
No.
What's her name? The lead, the Latina.
Yasmin?
Yeah. Yasmin gets a fistful of spaghetti and you can see her start to laugh. And I was like, cut.
She's having a great time.
Let's redo
Take
this.
It again.
Let's reset the pasta. Everybody, reset the pasta.
This is too interesting much. About those actresses. You know, because I thought they were terrible. Okay. I'm going to be totally honest.
Yeah. With the exception. The popular girl was good.
Meredith was great.
Terrific. Yes.
I think the problem was they had to, I think what they ended up doing was casting dancers Mm. Well, do you know there's that whole like, oh, she's wrong. A dancer who can act. She's an actress who
Disney,
can dance.
Like
that Disney, yes. That and I think that they were all ultimately dancers and that kind of like that's Disney Mouseketeer world that they gave a movie to.
Well, IMDb doesn't lie. Look at the credits
absolutely.
After. It wasn't
well,
taken up.
Yeah, no. The only one who really took off was the bad girl, Meredith.
They always do.
Yeah, she was on a TV show that lasted for 100 episodes. Here's an interesting thing about this movie. Paula Abdul was going to be the executive producer, fashion designer, and choreographer of this film, but was fired.
She looks like an adult brat.
She yeah. does. And
she's
she,
brat. Yeah.
She was fired over email, and you can watch it on her Stop. TV series, Hey Paula, where she gets
I've
the
seen
email.
That. I feel like so, I've seen this too.
I've seen that. Wait, how come?
I have seen that in some countdown. She's like in a studio,
this,
right?
Yes. Yeah. She's like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So what would this
Wait
movie would
second.
Have been
Do
if
tape
it was
on that?
Oh, I don't have tape. I wish I had the Paula getting the call.
I've seen that moment.
Guys, I have an update.
Yeah.
Oh god.
There are multiple Bratz movies. Many of them starring these same girls.
What?
What? This is Bratz the movie.
There's one called Bratz For Real. What is that?
Wait, but are you saying that they are continuing their
character? Wait a minute. Maybe I'm looking
at there's them. A lot of Bratz cartoons.
Maybe these... Okay,
oh,
sorry.
So
I might be wrong.
Cartoons.
I need to look
at Yes,
that.
But...
There's a lot going on. She's also... Yasmin is also in Switched at Birth.
Mm-hmm.
She also plays Gretchen in Switched at Birth on the ABC Family Show. I'm just checking it out.
Jade was in Bratz For Real, the video game.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay.
If you guys are playing Bratz
For Real. Sasha, the woman who plays Sasha is...
Who's Sasha?
She is... she's the African-American girl.
Oh,
she
right.
is one of the characters in Dear White People. I'm just now looking at...
Oh, great.
I'm
okay.
just now looking
I'm
at what they're
for
doing.
Her.
Look, guys,
I don't know that it's
Bratz
their fault.
For Real.
I think it's always tough to have younger actors.
Oh, I think they're
acting.
Disney kids, kind of coming out of the Disney
that.
Channel
I've
stuff.
I've seen it. I don't know why.
I have too.
I
need
the same. So scary.
I need to get this Bratz For Real video game. It's pretty amazing.
I'm a little concerned, Paul, that you are purchasing all of the Bratz content.
Shut up, Jason. Just shut your mouth. It's fine. This is a movie, and it's a movie show,
I think
and
you
I
need
love
to
it.
Check his browser history, June.
Bratz, Bratz, Bratz.
Also, all the terrible songs were clearly written for this movie and
yeah.
all had like thematic lyrics that were like not at all subtext, were just text. Like
yes.
it would be like they would have a moment of making up and then the song would be like, and all the songs were weirdly chunky guitar rock and roll songs, not songs these
but they
kids would listen
but
to.
By
at
the
all.
Way, they weren't fun songs. They
no,
had no
they'd be
energy
like, chugga,
to
chugga, 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 chugga. We're friends
mind
now.
Meredith. I didn't mind Meredith's song at our Sweet 16 Fabulous.
No, that was fine.
That I appreciated.
That was fun. What was it? It's All About Me?
Yes. I just simply couldn't understand the lyrics of the Bratz last number, which was like, we're attitude of gratitude.
Gratitude.
Yeah.
Gratitude.
Gratitude.
Oh,
June.
You want to hear? You want to hear some
gratitude?
Gratitude.
To feel some gratitude.
You know they want to go on Broadway
no,
with
no,
this.
No, that was gratitude.
That
You're
was
right.
gratitude.
Wait, here we go.
It's not a platitude.
Well, I mean,
they're rhyming with platitude.
I thought I heard gratitude in there. Gratitude.
Gratitude is just an attitude.
I see. Okay, so
it's gratitude.
Gratitude is not an attitude.
It's not a platitude to feel some
gratitude.
Which I think is...
Yeah, you have the
like,
latitude.
I can't even... Really you have latitude. I couldn't really make... Like, this is the song that's supposed to kind of harness their whole
But
thing,
it's like, it's very gospel-y. Like, that's
it.
A gospel-y
yes.
song. It's like...
Right.
Like, I was like, it's not a... You know, it's like... I'm like... And
there are vocals of 40-year-old women, too.
Yes. Oh,
100.
Yes. A lot of backup singers.
Coming no out of children.
Yes, yeah, yeah, the yeah. end credits song that Yasmin sings is like
I got
40-year-old man.
I got that again. Here we go.
That's her.
That's Yasmin.
That's her.
We're supposed to believe that
she's
is
now the
Yasmin.
Insane.
That is
without the visual, that's it's great. Even more startling.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, they do a song at the end where then after the main song is over, they cut to this white room and a white piano. And
oh, I didn't see this.
Oh, I didn't see this.
After Paul, why are you watching the post-credit scenes? Paul, what is happening?
I watched this movie in one sitting from midnight to 1:50 in the morning last night.
Up late at night like a real perv watching the Bratz movie.
The craziest part
and you bought it.
Is he also watched it with his mom last night?
Yeah, I did watch it with my mom. My mom was like, what is this?
Oh,
She's like, well, you're going to have plenty to talk about on your podcast about
this. She was like, how did this get made?
Oh, I would love it if your mom was a guest on the podcast.
It would be a lot of questions that you would be uncomfortable answering.
Yeah. She's like,
do you think that they're attractive? Do you think they're attractive? I don't think so. It looks like she was hit by a bus. My mom is very critical of these young girls.
Yes, very critical of women.
So the birthday party scene, I do want to point out when the MTV crew is there, it's a guy.
That's four people.
I saw one guy with a camcorder with an MTV shirt. That was it. And then the producer who comes up with the most fake ending of all time.
Stu Perlman or whatever.
Yeah. Is that a real person?
Yeah, Stu Perlman is a guy who put together like the Backstreet Boys and everything like that.
Lou Perlman, sorry.
Is that that person?
No.
I mean, this is what he does.
It's an homage. In my opinion.
He comes up with this.
Tom McShavy, Vice President, MTV Networks.
He's like the lost Busey, this guy.
Networks. No.
And it's got the best numbers to date. You in the pool. Outrageous.
My idea.
Smart girl. Oh, but you four girls, whoa. You have got superstar written all over you.
They do?
Oh, without question. Hey, we're having the movie premiere next Saturday night. How would you girls like to be the featured act on the red carpet?
Featured act?
Duh!
Fantastic. We'll be in touch.
BFFs! Woo!
Even better.
Bratz.
That's how red carpets.
I haven't been to a million red carpets. I've been to a handful, more than a handful. Never seen a band on the red carpet ever.
The featured act.
As the featured act.
So that means there are other acts.
Hey, everybody. Let me tell you about my friends at Blue Apron. All right, with school starting up again and schedules getting a little bit tighter, cooking may become less of a priority. We get it. You're busy. Stop complaining, okay? We all are busy. But for luckily less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron makes it easy to create delicious seasonal recipes and step-by-step instructions and pre-portioned ingredients delivered right to your door. So parents, impress your kids. Be like, you know what? I'm fucking really busy too, okay? I know you got your math homework, but I managed to make a delicious meal for you. And your kids are like, oh, what is it, my meatloaf? You go, no, you fucking son of a bitch. It's summer vegetable and egg paninis with Calabrian chili mayonnaise and caprese salad. And they're like, what? And you go, yeah. Or tomorrow night we're going to have soy glazed pork and rice cakes with bok choy and marinated green beans. They're like, no, really, mom? And you go, yeah. And guess what? Your dad made skillet vegetable chili with cornmeal and cheddar drop biscuits. And they're like, dad, you did that? And then your dad will say, yeah, and I'm also going to make garlic butter shrimp and corn with green bean salad and roasted purple tomatoes. And then your kids will finally respect you. But this isn't just for parents. Oh, no. It's for single people. It's for everybody. It's for old people. It's for young people. It's for all ages, all groups. It's the Benetton of food delivery services. Blue Apron knows that you're busy. So they're offering 30-minute meals. No more slicing up things just for a second. These are meals that are made with the same flavor and farm-fresh ingredients that you know and love and are ready in 30 minutes or less, just like the pizza and just like that movie. Check out this week's menu for your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/bonkers. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. I need to pull up just to show your faces because to see your faces on the final closing song of the Bratz movie. I just want to see what you guys think.
The white room.
Is this so you can watch it again? This is weird, man.
They're really talented, and I like supporting young artists who are really into whatever. Really you're gross, man.
I think it is. I am disturbed, though, that I looked up and this has like 2 stars, and I really feel like it deserves more.
Katie.
And I think it's such an upsetting symptom of misogyny in our culture. This was not celebrated.
Lost your mind.
Well, this is the weird thing about Meredith. I think you've lost your mind. I think this movie is so terrible. And I also think it's terrible because it's such a ripoff of, like, the Meredith character. I'm so tired of seeing this girl in these movies. Like, she has no redeeming qualities. And we also have, like, what does she want, ultimately?
She order. Wants
power.
Order.
She order. Power. But how does she experience power?
Control. Okay. I'll go down here with you.
All right. All right. So control over just knowing everybody's in their place, because people openly do not like her.
Right.
And
she on the first day of school, they come to her.
Nobody seems that scared of her. Like, I have no idea what she's getting out of this order.
She also is so involved in these things. Like, she's running the talent show and stacking it purposefully with untalented people.
Again, to what end? I can see her wanting to win dominance. A scholarship.
She wants to – I think she wants to – She basically is in control of the whole school. She's student body president. Everybody goes through her. She decides where everybody sits. She is,
by the way, she
rigid. Yeah. She's rigid and keeping control of everything. She's going to win the talent show. She's going to have the best Sweet 16. Blah blah blah. The existence of these four girls as four girls from disparate groups who are forging a bond and a clique of their own, like, challenges her supremacy or her primacy as the rule maker, order giver, and allows for people to say, well, then if they don't have to listen to her, we don't have to listen to her, and that means chaos for her.
But she wants love. She wants love. And the brats threaten, absolutely.
Yeah.
She wants love. And the brats.
Where is she getting it from?
Exactly. She's not getting it. And the brat's connection threatens her subjectivity. She's like, I have to break that up because the connection they have threatens my identity. So the only way I'm going to maintain any power is if I divide up them.
Here's what's hard for me.
She does genuinely seem to love herself, though.
Yeah. Which honestly, and I think is a powerful, which I applaud.
Well, I guess I do too, but that's what's weird about the character is that if we saw that she was in pain over this situation she's gotten herself into, which is that she can't have any real connections and she's set up the system in the school that she thinks is going to help her, but there should be a certain amount of pain, though, that she experiences because of not having any real friendship.
She also doesn't. Bratz does not go there. Like, Mean Girls beautifully does that. We see Regina sad.
Yes.
I'm not saying Bratz doesn't have limits. I'm not saying there aren't walls. Okay. But I'm just saying.
Wow, it's really hard for you to say.
I was blown away.
Wow.
Well, and then she lords really with a flash moment. Drive. The only reason why those people are even friends with her is because she lords over them with this flash drive. And at the end, there's no comeuppance for her at all.
Not at all.
Because she still wins.
Yes.
She still wins. I think ultimately what we're supposed to take away is that she – what we know she's not winning because she doesn't have her
friends.
Crew of brats. But the – I don't know.
Well, what I'm surprised with in this movie is normally this person, especially in a movie like this that's aimed at kids, normally in this movie that character would have a
boyfriend or
she has a boyfriend, the guy that ends up with Chloe.
But she doesn't really care about him.
No, she doesn't care about anyone.
She only cares
like
about
a
him
sociopath.
In the sense that
she doesn't want
someone else to take him.
100% a sociopath,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
She loves her dog, so I would argue she's not a sociopath. She's a strong connection to Paris, the dog.
True.
Who dresses just like her, and the director said that was one of the coolest things that
but
he thought.
But she never has a moment.
Classic filmic
things.
She never has a moment where, like, she learns her lesson or whatever. When we see her at the end of the movie, she and her dad are spying on the brats singing in classic black hat, black turtleneck, spy thief gear.
Yeah.
which is to assume, like, oh, she's truly a villain.
And they're
and
going
to
college.
That, to me, seems like the wrong message to be sending. Yeah. To me, the message to send is like, oh, even the girl who is the villain or the enemy needs to be understood and needs to, like, figure herself out.
Of course, we all have the monster inside of us.
But she should have realized that she could become friends, like real friends with these people, and it would be okay.
But that never happens. In fact, she's just turned into an even more cartoonish villain, I feel.
Can I just
ask? She should have had her confession moment.
Can I ask one question? Why did the Sweet 16 party backfire? It seemed like somebody fell into the pool, and then the next day they're like, oh, well, the cliques are back now.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like there was any connective tissue to why the cliques went immediately back into position after they – I don't understand.
I think that was one of the very few flaws in the screenwriting was that you're building to these two set pieces in the third act instead of just one.
It's
it's either going to be the Sweet 16 or it's going to be the talent show.
Right.
And in this movie, it was sort of both, and weirdly, like, neither of them had
– And weird, but odd, because also it builds to this moment where everyone confesses. I'll just play this, because this is also like, well, is that the point of this movie, that everyone has confessions? Like, here we go.
I eavesdropped on my sister, and then I betrayed her. Yasmin, I'm very sorry.
Most of my friends think I'm a tough jock, but I've been taking ballet since I was 5. And you know what? I like it.
I'm Bubby. And I am a chocoholic.
Hi, Bubby.
The one that you didn't include, which is the most insane one.
Yeah.
Everybody's admitting, like, secret, I'm secretly passionate about ballet, but I'm embarrassed. Or I love chocolate or whatever. There's a nerd kid who gets up and is like, I cheated on all of my exams. I cheated on my term paper. I cheated on my finals. Like, everybody else is like having a moment of revelation that is met with like acceptance by the crowd. This kid is going to be expelled for his.
Immediately,
they're going to be like, you don't get to go to college.
His future is totally jeopardized.
Yes, is the moral that like these people were like these girls freed everyone in school from having different interests? Is that like is that what we're building to?
Yes.
Like, you can be a nerd and you can be into fashion. You could be a this. Okay.
Well, it's her monologue. She's like, I'm a science. I love science. But you know what? I also love fashion.
Yes.
And that's I thought that was exciting. Exalt
by the way,
the femme,
that's a cool, yes, you that's can a still, cool story.
Yes. You can still be femme presenting and be interested in science.
Yes.
All right. How about the fact that no matter where they are, whether they're at the Sweet 16, at school itself, which makes sense, but then anywhere else in the world, if you are a cheerleader or a jock or a member of the marching band, you only wear your uniform. Like, at the Sweet 16, the cheerleaders are all wearing cheerleader uniforms. Like,
the people who love dinosaurs have dinosaur lapel pins on and are dressed as dinosaurs sometimes. Oh. That's another section of people that were discriminated against in this school. And they also, like, when they go over to her house, she's like, oh, we're just practicing. But they're all in their full.
Yeah.
They're always in their cheerleader.
They're in it.
Everybody's always wearing uniforms if their characters have them.
Well,
except for our girls. Like, Jade will be with the. No. Jade, Sasha will be with the cheerleaders.
She's wearing
normal clothes, and they're all only wearing uniforms.
Yeah. It was weird when the cheerleader came up to her at the end, the captain, saying, you know, we do want you on the team, but. Like, well, has she been auditioning for this team for 2 years?
You would think.
I mean, it seemed like her position was being
still tenuous.
Trying out for
still
the
trying out years later. But that's the thing is, like, everybody basically has a moment. Every character, every brat has a moment where their chosen clique comes up to them and is like, "Listen, we love you. You're great. We want you on the team. We want you on the whatever." But if you don't hang out with us exclusively, you can't do it.
That's what I wanted
to know.
That would
not be allowed.
What Yasmin was doing in those 2 years, because she is the only one
friendless.
That didn't have a clique.
Yes, because she's too afraid to sing.
So she's just what? But at one point she holds up a sign when she gets her invitation from Meredith in a balloon that popped. The sign says journalism.
Like, yes.
The easy way out, as we all know.
Yes.
Sure.
Journalism.
I guess so.
She says she has a journalism thing earlier in the movie as well.
She says those words?
She says she has like something for journalism. She does. I remember it. I remember hearing it and be like, what is that?
So that's what she was. Those are the kids she was hanging out with?
Like, yeah, she's a real.
She covered the Gulf War.
She's a real.
She should have been breaking the story on Meredith. What's going on? What's making her tick? The hard drive, the dad, the inner.
And she could have used it to her advantage, digging up dirt,
absolutely.
Being an investigative journalist. She could be a real Rory Gilmore.
Pulled the lid off of all of it.
I still want to talk about the magician that clearly killed that girl in the box.
Oh, yeah.
He killed that girl. And
why was Yasmin's little brother at the Sweet 16?
He snuck in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why did John Voight have a bodyguard? Like
Who's also
the vice principal.
Vice principal,
yeah.
So that was confusing.
That's
the
vice principal.
I didn't
forgot
get that.
To cast it. And he's like, you're both. You're both. Yeah.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Come gather round, listeners, on every device. And keep your ears open, I won't say it twice. Paul, June, and Jason are not very nice to bad movies, over which there's a shit ton. Their mockery of mediocrity will not suffice. It's time for a second opinion. Paul, you're quite funny on screen and on stage, but you've got a few black marks on your own wiki page. Bad films are released in wave after wave. Don't act like you've never been in one. We all saw your shoulder on screen in Meet Dave. It's time for a second opinion.
All right, these are five-star reviews culled from Amazon. These people love Bratz, and you know what? I think they're on Kate's camp here. This is written by CoolKid363. This movie delivers important messages every preteen should understand before heading to high school. Friendship is important, how to stand up for yourself. Plus, most preteens would enjoy this movie, as many are excited to head into high school, and the movie gives them an insight of what high school is really like. And let's face it, it's impossible for a movie to give perfect insight of what high school is really like.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Fair,
I think that's fair,
yeah.
You know.
These are a little bit different than we normally get. This is a good one. This is from Melanie Stepp. The language amounts to about five or six uses of God's name, but no more. A few times the characters expose a little belly, and there are a few short skirts. Meredith wears the most revealing out of all the characters.
Who cares? How dare you?
But the clothing is mostly very layered and modest, vastly different from the doll counterparts. Fashion and shopping and beauty are emphasized a little too heavily, but it's all fun. And not trying to look too sexy. Jade does lie to her parents, but she later apologizes. Aggressive shopping is shown in a not good light. I mean, do we really want to be jerking belts from other people's hands and playing a tug of war until one person goes flying?
When the camera's there, we do.
Overall, it's an extremely enjoyable movie that I want to watch again despite myself. 5 stars.
Oh, my God. I would not give it the big 5. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Would you give it?
3.
Oh, nice.
Wow. That's... I feel
for what
that's
it
fair
is
for you. Yeah.
Okay.
For what it is.
Yeah.
For what it is.
Because I really, I'm telling you, when I pressed play, I went, here we go. This is going to be pure trash.
And I enjoyed it more than you thought.
You know what? They're reaching. And in this day and age, a little ambition, seeing that, that for me gives you stars.
Wow.
And by the way, Kate, you can come over to my house anytime and watch it. I own it now.
Thank you so much.
This is weird getting weird.
By the way, I do think that if Paula Abdul did get behind this movie, it would have ratcheted this movie up.
Music fashion and dancing.
Unlike many of the movies we do, I will judge this less harshly because it is a movie made for children. Like in a way that even though we've tackled other
kid movies,
Gooby and like terrible, this like there was something about it which I felt like it couldn't be as sharp. It had to be dulled or whatever because of its intent, intended audience.
In some ways, I feel the exact opposite.
Yeah,
which is that the movies made for children are so important.
It should be held to a higher standard.
It should be held to a higher standard.
I'll tell you that Roy. Wrote on January 25th, this product was delivered on time. My daughter loves this movie. I bought it for her, and she's a grown woman. Need I say more?
Ooh,
5 stars.
Gross.
Weird.
I don't like any of that.
And then finally, we end with Cool Cat, who says, I thought it was pretty good compared to those other stupid movies that came out this year, like Knocked Up.
What?
Yeah. If you love the Bratz, I would say get this. It is not overrated. They didn't show any cleavage. They didn't show any cleavage.
Cleavage?
I was starting to laugh at the fact that this guy is pervo. I just started to laugh at it. Sorry. It isn't overrated.
Are you laughing to cover the fact that you wrote this?
I have opinions about this movie.
Are you Roy?
It isn't overrated. They didn't show any cleavage, and it was enjoyable for all audiences. I can't think of a movie that is better than it.
Wow.
And it's definitely better than SpongeBob, and I wasted my money on that. 5 stars.
Jesus.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, more cleavage for sure in this movie, Roy, a.k.a. Paul Scheer.
I also felt like the girls got a bum rap for breaking that bust. I feel like whoever put that principal's bust on that, they didn't solder it down or anything. It was very bad.
Did you guys notice that during the food fight, there were, at a certain point, just cream pies on the ground that people started picking up and throwing at each other? No. There just were cream pies.
Damn, I
They bend
that.
Down and pick up cream pies and start mushing them into each other's faces during the food fight. I was like, why are those just there on the ground, like in tins?
Yeah.
Magic.
I always felt in middle school and high school a little scared a food fight was going to break out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's
really
there's so many food fights in like teen movies and kids movies. I always like felt like I was living under the fear that at any moment someone was going to throw, you know, a sandwich.
Our parents
at me.
Lived and under the happened. Fear that there was going to be like an atomic
bomb.
And we had food fight.
Yeah.
We would do a terrible thing in my cafeteria where you would. Like, say someone was sitting down, and it could be anybody. It wouldn't just be a nerd thing. It would be, and if you pulled the seat out from underneath them and they fell on the ground, the entire cafeteria would start chanting, Dick, 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 Dick. And it would be like 100 or something people just
Even
all
you?
Of course me, yeah. I mean, and by the way, the worst moment that happened here was there was a football player who was on crutches one time. And he was pushed backwards, and his crutch broke the window, and he fell out the window into a courtyard. It was the same level courtyard. Fell out the window, and the whole cafeteria was like, Dick, 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 as this man has fallen through.
The cruelty of children. Yeah. That's terrifying.
And I thought, and it was so fun to everyone be chanting
to be part of the
Dick,
gang.
Because you could yell Dick, and you weren't getting, it was in a Catholic school, you couldn't get in trouble, and everyone's screaming Dick, and the brothers couldn't control it. But now thinking about that young man, never happened to me, thank God. Thank God.
It still might.
It may.
And here at the Earwolf Cafeteria.
No. We had to do some pretty fucked up stuff in my school. We dumped a kid in a garbage can head first.
All right, babe.
We used to, for our marching band initiation, we would pick up the freshmen. This is the nerds against nerds. And there was like a big, huge industrial sink in the band room. And you would spend, first we would fill up the sink like halfway. And then you would get dunked in the sink, basically. That was your initiation.
This is fun.
Classic.
It was very fun.
Yeah, that seems
it was very innocuous.
More light spirit.
Oh, it was very innocuous. Yeah. So basically you like were wet for the next period.
That's okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
Paul.
Oh, sorry.
Paul, you know what, man? I know you've got brats on the brain with their busty cleavage.
Yeah. There's some good cleavage there. let's just go around the horn here. Jason, do you recommend the movie?
I don't really. I mean, listen, if my nieces were like, we're going to watch The Bratz, I'd be like, okay. I mean, I'd rather you watch something a little better. But that's what I mean. Like, on a message level, it's all about being friends, staying friends, looking out for each other, being generous to people, being kind, having each other's back. Look, you know, like it has all the right messaging for, I'm sure, the little girls that are the intended audience. But as a movie, it is just kind of boring, you know, like it really is. And it is the level of intrusive song placement is maddening.
It's
frankly.
Distracting.
It is aggressive.
It distracts from The Bratz.
Oh, yeah. I want, I want to focus on these brats, you know.
Of course you
do. Not the way that Paul does.
Hey, I like these girls. Kate, what would you say?
I would say Bratz, you know, it can't help but escape. It does not succeed in escaping kind of the trappings that you might expect from a film like this.
Yeah.
And at times they are offensive and not
stereotypical
productive.
And
right. However, I would say that it's well directed. I truly feel that way. And I think it's visually, again, shot on film. And I think
you gotta appreciate that. By the way, that's something that we got. Like a lot of these movies, we don't give it enough credit. It was shot on film.
Yeah, we've got some cool shots.
It feels big. It feels big.
They have an elephant in this movie.
It's ambitious, and I recommend it on like a family ski trip when everyone's asleep. Oh, I've never gone skiing with my family. But
that's the only parameters in which you would recommend watching it.
Everyone's asleep. Everyone's
like
asleep.
You find this DVD in a ski cabin. Yeah. Like, what brats?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't want to do a puzzle of a boat.
Yeah.
Or just like,
wow.
Sure.
Watch brats.
I wonder
most people
if
are not wealthy enough to ski, so because it's an expensive sport.
Again, never went skiing as a child. I'm just a mad. I feel like it's a ski oriented.
I wonder if people. I'm curious in the same way if people in this in our audience, the young people that is, are going to feel about this movie the way that other people felt about when we did Spice World and felt like this is preposterous and people were like, "What are you talking about? This is my life."
Right?
No, I don't think so. I think Spice World was more our generation. Or
no, that's what
my
I mean.
Generation,
yeah.
But. I don't think we have listeners who
are
went to see Bratz.
Yeah.
But listeners, I want to hear it. Did you,
well, did you go feel see Bratz?
Like, in 2007, they were 10.
Yeah.
Which means that now
they're
20. Okay, maybe they are listening.
Wow. Yep. Listen, 20-year-olds, if you're out there and you're listening to the show, let us know. Did this movie mean something to you? Like, were there girls who grew up being like, "I'm a Jade, I'm a Yasmin, I'm a like
Chloe,
everybody else
Sasha.
Was like, I'm a
My
Samantha,
parents,
I'm a Raya."
I mean, I think what we are missing in our reading of this movie is the whole. The more of the source material. I think we only know
we
the
gotta
dolls.
We got to go back to the source.
No.
We got to go back
Paul,
to the source.
I think there's more that mm-hmm. we
you're
don't
looking,
know
but you, as a,
about their
that's
families.
A, actually, that reminds me of a great thing. Guys, as you know, we are launching a lot of other podcasts built off of this podcast. Bitch Sesh came out of out of our feed. Yeah. Welcome to the Bratcast. we're here. We're talking nothing but brats.
We're gonna get into the cartoons, the video game.
Nothing but brats.
We're going to talk about the
it's
brat.
It's because we got that bratitude. And, you know, here we are. It's just us. Yasmin, Sasha, Jade, and Chloe here talking brats with you.
I do think, though, there's another way to experience this movie, and I don't think any of us were able to really...
I enjoyed it.
Enjoy it, because I think, like, we probably would have known more about their families and what happened to Chloe's dad and all of that stuff just we
didn't
know.
What happened to Chloe's dad?
I
bet it's in the book.
As he left the family.
Abandoned them.
Yeah. You know, it's hard.
I don't think it was a death. I think it was he left the family and we have no money and there's an unsupportive
I gotta
dad
say,
out
June,
there.
It's like, you know, especially with that movie It coming out, it's so hard, you know, to adapt a piece of source material into a feature film and get everything right. Dark Tower is having that issue. You know, and I think...
Are you suggesting that this is a Stephen King property?
I'm just saying that, you know, like...
It did have clowns in it, like,
you know,
it.
Yeah, look, I'm just saying...
It would
saying
be amazing if it was, like, the four
part of the Stephen King world.
And Pennywise.
Thinner, there's elements of the Thinner in here.
Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, there's a lot. Like, all I'm saying is... It's so hard to bring everything that you know from an action figure, 10-inch action figure, and be able to put that in a movie. The first Harry Potter movie was so hard to get all that in there. You know, and this is an action figure. That's a bigger than
10
most
inches books. To 35 millimeters, baby.
That's right.
June, you recommend it or no?
No, I couldn't ever. No, I didn't enjoy it. And I went in actually when I saw that we were watching Bratz. I was excited. So I also went in. I was excited. It's not like a sci-fi movie. I felt like it was in a genre that I could definitely stomach. And I was disappointed.
I say buy this. It's $7.99.
Oh,
it's a steal.
Oh,
you know, you're going to rent it. It's going to be $4.
You're
it's like, you know, don't worry about it. Support the Bratz.
I feel like someone
help them get back
your
$20 million
should
budget.
Be able to buy this movie.
Bratz, Bratitude, Bratitude.
That makes sense why you're wearing that crop top t-shirt today.
Whatever. I think it's fun and it's nice and it's hot out. Kate, talk to us about what you're doing. We know you have this great Vimeo series, 555.
Oh, thank you.
That you can get cheaply. It's not an expensive buy.
Less than Bratz, folks.
$3.99,
less than Bratz. You get five episodes starring myself and John Early, directed by Andy DeYoung.
And
just check it out.
It's really funny, and you have to go to Vimeo.com to get it. That's it. That's where people, you know.
If you get scared, just Google Vimeo, Kate Berlant, John
Something
Early. You'll find it.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything else you want to talk about? No? Anybody?
No, I'm good.
June?
I would just suggest for those listeners who are activist-minded, there's two great things you can check out. Five Calls, which is an app you can download, and ResistBot, which makes it really easy to call and contact your representatives.
I actually just use that. It's great. It sends a fax right to your representative. You write it on your text, and it goes right in.
Well, I am a senator.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't going to say that here.
Whoa!
But I am involved.
I like
it. Write to me and we're going to do it.
Great.
Are we sure they all have faxes? Fax seems like outmoded.
Yeah, you want to get all
that. It's actually just as meaningful as a phone call.
Because they deal with so much paper. It's like, yes, you want to inconvenience these people. Trust me, when my secretary brings me a stack of faxes, I go, okay, I'll read the bill again.
And I appreciate you taking some of the time out of your schedule to watch this movie, because you were probably in that office, people knocking on that door.
And I got home and my husband said, are you kidding? And I said, put the briefs, he's a lawyer, put the briefs down.
I'm glad you said he was a lawyer, because I would have thought his underwear.
Put the briefs down and put the brats in. I said, put the brats in, we're going to have fun. He loved it, I loved it, we had fun.
Just a reminder to sign up for our mailing list. You can find that on our Facebook page and our Twitter page. That's the show, but it doesn't end here. Listen to our mini episode where the discussion about this movie continues. You can give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. I will answer all your questions about this movie or even about your life. And make sure you jump on the Earwolf message boards about this movie. We do read it. We will pick the best ones for our mini episodes. Also, if you like How Did This Get Made and you want to wear it or put it as a sticker or have it as a cell phone case, head over to tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm, tpublic.com/stores/hdtgm, and you can check out all of our amazing merch like Put Her in a Bra or the Jason Zardoz shirt, which I particularly love. A big thanks to Kelly Alto, Avril Halley, July Diaz, Nate Kiley, and Leanna Waldron, all who come together and put this show and help me do the show every single week. But more importantly, everybody here at Earwolf, their amazing engineering team that puts together this episode, makes it sound absolutely flawless. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm not going to explain where. You can figure it out, but it's pretty much HDTGM. And if you want to hear our back catalog, that's right, we only have 50 episodes available right now for free, but our back catalog is available on Stitcher. You can hear every episode that we've ever done commercial-free, and if you sign up now, you can even hear this episode commercial-free. How about that? Make sure you rate and review us on the iTunes. We like that. It's fun, and we have a good time with it. And make sure you tune in to our mini episode next week, because we're going to tell you what we're watching. See you next week. Bye for now.
Hey, I'm Brian Safi.
And I'm Erin Gibson, and our show Throwing Shade just moved to Earwolf.
We take a look at women's issues and LGBT issues and make them real stupid.
We make them real dumb. You'll be very insulted by what we have to say. And we have great guests, so come listen to us. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app.
We also talk about clip-on earrings a lot, where to get a great facial.
And wigs.
And a lot of wigs.
It's everything you asked for and nothing you asked for.
All in the same package.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.